2 Corinthians chapter 3. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. So as we've talked about this before, but Paul's talking here about how we don't need to, you know, perhaps some of the other churches in the area were trying to sell themselves on something, or even to get in a church, maybe they had a requirement, or even today certain churches have, they have a membership, or they have different things like that, but he's saying, you know, we don't need those things, but the people are the actual, are the commendation, the letters of recommendation. What really matters to us is the people living the life. And so we don't need to have, you know, perhaps like a resume or a portfolio or anything like that, but we just need to have people who are surrendered, and then those people will live a life before other people, and then those people will see that and then want to figure out, you know, how to live a life like that, or how to get something that's real in that way. So it's not the things that we do, but it's not the things that we say, but it's more so the things that we do and the life that we live, that we are epistles, you know, written and known of all men because it's written in our hearts. In verse 3, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in the tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Now, when people, you know, it's interesting to me how sometimes, even parents sometimes, they'll say things like, sometimes people will say, don't do this, don't do that. But, you know, even there's situations where if someone's trying to parent someone or even teach someone something, and a parent tells you not to do something, but then they go ahead and do that same thing, then it seems off. It seems like, you know, like, why is that allowed and not? And the children will question this, and even sometimes parents will have like vices or addictions or things like that. And I've seen some parents where they have a problem with smoking or drinking or things like that, and they'll try and tell their kids not to do these things, and they'll try and tell their kids, but eventually when that kid becomes of age, they get to make their own decisions, and sometimes those kids will often fall into those same habits because that's just what the life that they saw growing up, that's what they saw lived before them. So and things like that, where it's not, you know, parents can try and tell their kids what to do and what not to do, but in some instances the kids are just going to pick up the habits of the parents regardless of what the parents have been telling them to do. And I hope everyone here has had like a genuine example of Christ in the home, because that's what really helps people growing up, is to see a life lived before them. What's going on at home? What's going on at the house? People can be fake at church. People can be fake, you know, at the grocery store or whatever. But you know, once you get home, who you are is going to be lived at home for sure. So even in us and how we live, the way we in perhaps us being future parents, if the Lord tarries, that we should live a life and truly have the life in us, and not be trying to put something on or pretend to be something, so that others can, you know, benefit from that, and not just ourselves, and even the people in the world that we talk to that don't understand the faith, that we can talk to them, and not our words just be empty words, but they can really believe what we're saying, and that we at least believe that we believe what we're saying, because they've seen us live the life before them. And that's going to be more likely to convince them. It's not going to be what we say, as the example with the kids and the parents. It's not going to be what the parents say, but it's going to be what the parents actually do and live before them. I don't know if any of you have heard this saying, but it's a saying that some parents will say, do as I say, not as I do. But that's never going to, it's not going to work, because especially children are very, they absorb information very quickly, and because they're so young and influential in those younger years, that they're going to just do what people around them do. They're not going to understand that, you know, if someone says something, do this, but don't do what they're doing. You know, especially in those young developmental years, they're just going to pick up habits and traits. So really what it takes is a parent who doesn't just say don't do those bad things, but the parent who themselves is not doing things. And then the child can then get get a good example. So it's not just about, you know, do as I say, not as I do, but really even Jesus, and we see in his ministry, he would have never said, you know, do as I say, not as I do, because everything he does, he then encourages us to do, and he leads by example. He's not asking us to do things that he hasn't already done, you know, like raising from the dead, or casting out demons, or resisting temptation. And Jesus went through all these things when he was here naturally. So he's not going to ask you to do something that he's not himself doing. You know, Jesus is our ultimate example. So we always need to remember that we need to be an example to others as well, the way Jesus is to us. It's not just about, you know, telling people or ministering the gospel, but it's also about living, not just, you know, being a hypocrite like the Pharisees were, where they tell people to do things, but as the scripture said, they don't lift a single burden with their own finger. They don't even try to move those burdens themselves, but they're telling everyone else that they're supposed to be doing this and doing that. So we need to live in the example that Jesus lived in, that he's not just saying, you know, Jesus never said, do as I say, not as I do, but he led by example. And there's nothing that he's telling us to do or telling us to surrender in the way that he himself didn't live a holy life when he was here. So we need to continue to get that experience and live a holy life so that others can glean, so that we don't become hypocrites ourselves. And verse 6, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So that's what's really going to make the change, is the Spirit. It's not just the letter. The letter is what tells you what to do. And you know, sometimes you look at the law and it doesn't seem there's much grace in the law, but that's where the Spirit of Jesus comes and reveals the grace, you know, because people look at the Old Testament and think, you know, some people who don't quite understand think that God in the Old Testament, Jesus in the New, are so separate, because they see God in the old as, you know, he was just very harsh and cruel and very, you know, strict with people, and if you got out of line he would just strike you down with lightning and all these things, but then we see Jesus come in flesh, God come in flesh, and then he reveals that, you know, it's love, it's grace, he wants us to get an experience, and he wants us to follow the law, but there is grace for us. So once he comes, more of his love and his caring nature is revealed. But it's not like the rules are done away with, but of course we can see more of the love and the grace, which is what Jesus and the disciples, you know, talk about, is the love and the grace and the Spirit. And that when he dies and resurrects, and then we can get the Spirit that can really give us life, and not just, you know, reading the law and thinking that we're just done and we have to sacrifice this and that and because we just can't do it. But it's okay that we can't do it, because we're supposed to rely on him and his Spirit. So it's not of us trying to work something up, but it's really us accepting the Spirit and then living according to the example and to the person living inside of us. Verse 7, but if the ministration of death written and engraved in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory has to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which has made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for unto this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. So Paul's explaining that exact phenomenon where, you know, the Old Testament, sometimes it seems like such a disparity between how, you know, God deals with people, but it's not a disparity. It's just the veil is taken away, and we can see more of his intentions and get closer to Christ, you know, because even the way that everything's set up, especially when Moses was on earth, you know, God was basically mainly moving through him, and he was just trying to uphold the law and do the way that God said, and but then when they couldn't even look upon his face sometimes because of, you know, how close he was to the divine. So it was like there was this veil, and you couldn't fully, you know, understand. But then Jesus comes, and he's just the person walking among us, and he lives among us, and he teaches what the Old Testament is really about, and he tries to enforce the Spirit, you know. So when we get closer to the Spirit, and then that's when the veil is done away with, when the Spirit comes and ministers to us, and we get a true understanding of what the Bible is about all along. Because even Brother Branham says, you know, if you can't see Christ in every verse, you need to go back and read it again. And every verse includes the Old Testament, even in all those things when people think there's such a disparity. But even looking at the Old Testament, all of it points back to Christ and what Jesus is trying to get to his people, and feed them and minister to them and you know, give them salvation and healing and all these things. Then he also provides grace. Verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So this is kind of what Brother Wade has been teaching about. It's God in us, because verse 18 says, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. So as in a glass is like a mirror, it's like a reflection. So you can look in a glass and you can be so close to God that you can look in the mirror and say, you know, that's God right there. Or even Brother Bram says, you know, God in tennis shoes or God in leather or whatever, shoe leather. You know, and that's how close we need to be to God, to where we can look in the mirror and it's just God right there, God in flesh, the Son of Man, the same way Jesus came and, you know, he was God in flesh, that's how we need to live. We need to come in perfection so that we also can be God in flesh and Messiahs, as Brother Branham puts it. So that then that people can see that and glean from that, and even if they don't fully understand it, you know, they can desire that in some capacity. So in the Old Testament, where, you know, Sarah would call Abraham Lord, and there's something about that where Abraham was just so close to God. He was just right in line with what God wanted him to do, that Sarah could call him Lord and it wouldn't be a contradiction. It wouldn't be a false statement. Because Sarah did other things where, you know, people disapproved, and even she laughed at God in her heart, and God disapproved. But when she called him Lord, there was no disputation about that. There was no call out for that, because Abraham was just that close to God that she could call him Lord, and it wouldn't be a contradiction. So that's how close we need to be to where, you know, that we're just so close with God and all of his characteristics, his attributes. You know, like the faith, patience, all those things, all those virtues reside in us so that we can be the full embodiment of Christ. You know, the way the scripture is telling, the way Paul is trying to get us, you know, and of course the seals open and all these different things, the revelation gets deeper and deeper the longer time goes on. So, you know, and even Brother Wade talks about how when Brother Branham is preaching, it's not like a bunch of message people. You know, it's the Pentecostals, the Baptists, the Methodists, whoever will let him in the church. But now we have more people who actually believe what Brother Branham was saying than we do when he was actually on earth preaching. Because now we can fully get the revelation of what he's trying to say, and we can actually get closer to, you know, what he's actually talking about, and the perfection and all these virtues and attributes and actually living that life before people. And the same with Paul here. Paul is talking to people who may not really come to the full manifestation of what he's talking about, but these words are put down for the people that were there who would receive it then, and even for us now who can receive it in a more fuller sense. So I think it's always good to remember that and be grateful of that. And to remember that we need to embody Christ as much as we can so that we can, as the scripture says, as beholding in a glass, as in a mirror, we can look in the mirror and see God, and that people can look at us and see God, and that we can be just that kind and that forgiving towards each other, and but also not being pushovers and not backing down on the word when someone challenges us on it, because that is what we believe. And Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So it's all going to be by the Spirit of the Lord. So God bless you. You're dismissed.